that couldn't make it to church today. You're at home watching online or listening to this, and then there's also people that are all over the world that come to join us online. So, hey, let's give our online folks a hand this morning. And let me introduce myself. I'm Pastor Will. I'm one of the associate pastors here. Pastor Robin and an awesome crew are down in Mexico right now, and y'all saw one of those pictures that they took. And isn't that cool? They're having a blast. That is a big selfie stick. That is a big selfie stick, but they're having a blast, and if you're following them on Facebook, they're just having an awesome time down there and really doing some awesome ministry. So excited about what God's doing down there. Today, we're going to continue the sermon series on the book of James. Solid sermons coming out of this book of James. And for the last couple weeks, we've been moving chapter through this awesome book. And we really hope that these messages have been applicable to your life and have been helping you grow closer to God and closer to each other. In week one, we talked about troubles. And man, troubles come whether you like it or not, but troubles give us opportunities to trust God or fall into temptation. We also discussed that God uses those things and helps us with those things to build endurance in our lives and helps us to grow closer to Him. In week two, we talked about as believers that we're to love and welcome everyone and that we show our faith. Our faith is shown by our good works. And I have the good pleasure of diving into chapter three today. Such a great, great chapter. But James spends almost the entire chapter, literally probably 80% of that chapter, talking about taming the tongue. Y'all get your seatbelts on right now. Click in. Don't get up. Don't run away. But this whole message is about taming the tongue, and it's about the power of our words. How many in here know that that your words are powerful words? The things that come out of your mouth have powerful effects on people. And the things we say are powerful. And really this book goes into why we say the things that we say. And I want to tell y'all, y'all are in the splash zone. Last service, there was nobody on this front row, so I was spitting everywhere. So just be careful, you're in the splash zone. But I want to kick it off in James chapter 3, verse 1. And James comes right out of the gate, and he says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." And what James is saying here, he's like, hold on a minute. Before you become a teacher or a pastor, you have to come to a realization that your words are very powerful words and that people listen to you and that there is a great responsibility. Because a teacher or a preacher uses a lot of words, a lot of words. And he goes on to verse 2, and he says, "For we all stumble in many ways." He's talking about himself here too. He's saying, we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, and what he says in the words that come out of his mouth, he is a perfect man, able to control his whole body. And I looked up that word perfect, and it's not really talking about perfect like Jesus perfect, but this is talking about maturity, being a mature person. A mature person is able to control their mouth, and if they're able to control their mouth, they can control their body, their whole body. And the meaning there is mature. And I would say that most of us in here today feel like we're somewhat mature. Would you agree with me? We got some mature folks in here. We're mature. People are laughing at that. That's not a good sign. They're mature if we're mature. But most of us are mature. We feel like we're somewhat mature, right? And really, for the most part, most of us feel like we have control over our own bodies. You have control over your own body, right? Right? Have you ever, this is a very strange question. Have you ever lost control of a body part? Some people have. Strange question. My wife sometimes will sit a certain way, and she'll sit a certain way that her foot falls asleep. And so we'll get up to go do something, and I'm walking, and I turn around, my wife's on the ground. Her foot, she loses complete control of her foot. It just doesn't do what she's wanting it to do, so she falls. I do something a little different. Sometimes I will go to sleep on my arm. I'll sleep on my arm, and in the middle of the night, I'll roll over. And then something attacks me. Something flops on my chest, and I'm like, what is this thing? It's not my arm. I can't, I grab it, and it's like, oh, somebody's arm is on me, and I throw it. It terrifies me, and that happens to me a lot. Does that happen to anyone else here? Nobody else. Okay, I'm a weirdo. It's all right. But the fact is that all of us at one point have lost control of our tongue. We've all lost control of our tongue, and I'm not talking about just saying the four-letter words, the bad words. But I'm talking about our tongue sometimes will lie or bend the truth a little bit. Or our tongue will give a verbal jab, just like, with our tongue, we get somebody. Mean and hurtful words. Our tongue sometimes will blurt out some mean, hurtful things. And sometimes there's some folks that just like to stir up trouble. You got anybody in your family that just likes to see a fight? Yeah, everybody's going, yeah, we do. Somebody in my, yeah. But some people like to stir up mess. There's even gossip. Sometimes our tongue is used for gossip. Gossip. Gossiping is berating somebody's character, is attacking their character, going after them with your words. And there's something else that we don't really talk. As Christians, there's something that's called holy gossip. There's holy gossip. Now, what holy gossip is it's gossip wrapped up in a prayer request. It's wrapped in a really pretty pack. Oh, would you help me pray for so-and-so? Because so-and-so is doing this. It's not a prayer request. That's gossip. And so who does that? Nobody's raising their hand. There's one person that raised their hand. I can't believe you raised your hand. But nobody else, nobody does, right? Nobody here does that. Look at your neighbor and say, what you talking about, Willis? What you talking about, Willis? Hey, there's some people that don't know what that means. And it's a TV show. And there'd always be this little boy named Gary Coleman. He'd always look at his brother, his family. What you talking about, Willis? And I thought about that before I said it. It's like there's some young folks in here that have never seen that before. Never seen that. And it's weird now that I'm 40 years old and I'm using terms like young folks. But it's true. We have all lost control. We've all lost control of our tongues. Every single one of us have lost control of our tongue. And we have said some things that we wish we could take back. That they, as soon as they leave our mouth, we're like, no. And they leave our mouth and then there's destruction. And then there's hurt. And then there's regret. And there's just, you know, and it's not just our verbal worlds. We live in a digital age now. And so now sometimes if somebody hurts your feelings or you know, you get upset with them, you can start typing up a text message. I'm going to tell them what for. And then, or an email message. You know, you get upset at the job and you'll start typing up an email message. And then you know, right, I'm going to send this. They need to hear this. I'm going to tell them exactly what for. And then you hit send. And then a second later, you're like, what have I done? What did I just do? You sent it. It's gone. It is now in cyberspace. I was an IT manager for a long time, and so I'd have people come up to my office and say, and they have this real sheepish look on their face, and they said, I just sent an email message. Is there a way that I could get that message back? Can I get that message back? And I said, yes. If you type the entire email message backwards, you can pull it out of cyberspace and it will come back. No, you can't. It's gone. You sent it. It's out there. It's out there. And we can't get it back. And so, you know, studying for this message, God was really digging me up about my words. About my words and the things that I say. And you know, little comments and little things like that. I was like, God, maybe somebody else should preach this. And God began to dig me up. And I found this poem that is perfect. It is just absolutely a perfect poem. It says, angry words, oh, let them never. Oh, let them never. Oh, my tongue will work with me. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. With the soul's best impulse, ever check them, ere they'll soil the lips. Angry words are quickly spoken. Bitter thoughts are rashly stirred. Fondest links of life are broken by a single angry word. One word. It only takes one word. Our words are so powerful. They're incredibly powerful. And while thinking about this message, I was like, Lord, what about my words? What about my words? And I began, this thought came to me, what if we all had this tape recorder? Everybody in here was given a tape recorder, and on any given day, all of your conversations were recorded. Everything that came out of your mouth, the conversation you have with your spouse, the conversation you have with your brother or your sister or your mom or your coworkers or your friends, or even the text messages that you type up, and the email messages that you send off, and the Facebook posts. Don't forget the Facebook posts. And that tape recorder is still in your possession. But what if Pastor Robin or your mom or somebody asked you for that tape recorder? Would you be terrified? Would you want to smash it with a hammer? Or would you be okay and say, ah, oh, I hope that blesses someone? And so that's an example. But that we sometimes don't even take account for everything that comes out of our mouth in a day. And we say things, and sometimes we're really comfortable, and we just say things. And we have to realize that some of these words are coming from a place in a heart that needs to be changed. I said it last service. It gets real quiet in here around this time. But in Luke chapter 6 and 45, it says, the upright or the honorable, and this is in the Amplified, the upright, the honorable, intrinsically good man out of the good treasure stored in his heart produces what is upright, honorable, and intrinsically good. And the evil man out of the evil storehouse brings forth that which is depraved, wicked, and intrinsically evil. Now listen to this. For out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. So that scripture is saying out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. What is stored up in your heart, what is in your heart, everything that you are is stored up in your heart. And guess what? It comes out. It comes out, and guess what? Our words give us away. They reveal things about us. The things that we say reveal things about us. Our words are like a window to our soul. And the tongue is the indicator of where we are spiritually, where we are. And not too long ago, I was at my kids' school, and we were in the gymnasium and had these stands set up, and all the parents were sitting around, and I like to listen to folks talk every once in a while. I'm kind of nosy. And I was just listening to people talking. And this really cute couple came in, and they were just dressed so nice. They looked so put together, and they looked so friendly. And they just looked real. I was like, man, what a cute couple. That was before they began to speak. And man, when the words that were coming out of their mouth, they were tearing up some teacher. They were unhappy about this. They were just grumpy, and just everything that was coming out of their mouth was like, ugh. If you could see the way you're talking compared with the way you look, you might want to match those up. But it was ugly. It was ugly, and it was coming out of them. And so we have to realize that our heart is a storage place. Our heart is a warehouse. And everything that gets stored up in there eventually comes out. And I have a confession. I'm going to confess something to you this morning. In the past, I have struggled with being passive aggressive. You know what I did there? I spoke that in faith. In the past, I've had a problem with being passive aggressive. That's speaking in faith. I've not been passive aggressive today. Anyone in here passive aggressive? Three people. One person's really waving their hand. You shouldn't be proud of being passive aggressive. But what is being passive aggressive? A passive aggressive person is a quiet, angry person. It's quiet, angry. It's the person that gets upset and he doesn't really handle, or she doesn't really handle the situation right now. And if you ask them if they're okay, they'll say, "I'm okay." But they're planning and they're scheming. That's a passive aggressive person. And they're scheming. It's compliant defiance. Compliant defiance. And usually it comes out in little verbal jabs, little sarcastic remarks or comments with our tongues. And these little tongues, they can get us in so much trouble. And God showed me that. And, oh, that's something I have to deal with. That's something I need to correct. God, work on me. And James goes on and he begins to describe how this little thing, like our tongue, weighs about 8 ounces. It should weigh about 8 ounces. Some people's tongues weigh about 2 or 3 pounds. But our tongues, these little things, can control huge things. And James says in verse 3, he says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. And it says, look at the ships also. These great big giant ships with giant sails, huge sails that are driven by the wind. And the wind doesn't actually choose the direction. It's this little rudder at the back of the boat, so small. But any way that rudder is turned, that boat's going to go in that direction. And he goes on to say, so also is the tongue. The tongue is a small member, a small thing, yet it boasts great things. What James is saying about our tongues is that our words, the words that come out of our mouth, our words control the direction of our life. And a lot is at stake in what we say. Proverbs 18 and 21 puts it so clearly. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so our tongues can be weapons of mass destruction. Our tongues can cause holocausts and wars. Tongues can be the death of a marriage, or families, or friendships, churches, careers, and hopes, understanding, and even reputation. Our words are powerful. But words can also, and tongues can also make marriages awesome. It can strengthen families. Our tongue can strengthen our families and strengthen our churches. Our tongues can get you a promotion. They can create trust. They can give you hope. Our tongues can give hope to a desperate person. Our tongues can spread the gospel. But we can use our tongues to do good, or we can use our tongues to do evil. So we can worship God here today on Sunday morning. We are praising God in those songs. We are worshiping God in those songs. But in a few hours, we may have an opportunity to speak about somebody in a harsh way or a kind way. You see, it says it this way. In James 3 and 9, it says, with the tongue, we can bless the Lord and our Father. And with it, we can curse people who are made in the likeness of God. It says, from the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. My brothers, these things should not be so. So I love how he doesn't hold any stops here. He comes out with both guns blazing. He says, we can bless our Lord and our Father. And he doesn't just say we can bless our father and then we can bless our brother or our sister, or we can curse our brother or our sister. But what he says is, we can curse people who are made in the likeness of God. See, we hold God in high esteem, but sometimes we talk about people like they're worthless. Or we'll talk about somebody like they're not a son of God or a daughter of God. So what he's saying here is in the likeness of God. And it says, from the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. And here's an extreme example. How many of you have seen people on Facebook and they're posting scriptures? They're posting things, you know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. And they're just posting all these things. And it's like, yes, awesome. And then about 10 minutes later, they're ranting and raving about somebody. And they're just tearing somebody up on Facebook. They're ripping them up. I'm gonna hide them. And I hide them. Sometimes I go back after a little bit and see how they're doing, you know. But this is an extreme example. And there's a lot of non-Christians out there thinking, where is the forgiveness? Where is the grace? Where's that grace that they talk about? And folks, when we portray ourselves that way, when out of the same mouth comes blessings and cursings, we give people the excuses that they're looking for to walk away from God. They're looking for excuses. And so all of us, we're all thinking, you know, everybody here thinking like, what's up with those people who do that? All of those people that do that. I hate when people do that. But the truth is that many of us do this in the course of our days with our words. It may not be so extreme. It may not be that extreme. It may not even be on Facebook. But the words that come out of our mouth, blessings and cursings. Out of the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. Out of the same mouth, you'll bless God and you'll discourage somebody because you're pestering them or you're saying mean things to them. Hurtful things, little verbal jabs, blessings and cursings. And so James goes on to tell us that no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue, but he goes on to say, but we can tame just about everything else. We can tame animals and creatures. In verse 7, it says, for every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. And so you can go to the circus and see these amazing, huge creatures that have been tamed. And elephants that stand up on their hind legs. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Doing things that we're just asking them to do. And it's amazing. We can tame all of these creatures. And while studying for this, I realized there was one creature that's never been tamed. It's my Dachshund Darby. Little five-year-old Dachshund, a creature that cannot be tamed. For 5 years, we've tried to tame our dog, Darby. Every time we turn around, Darby jumps up on the table, and Darby's on the table. We'll turn around, and Darby's going for the trash can. And so I have determined that the tongue cannot be tamed, and Darby cannot be tamed. That's the truth. It can't be tamed. I know there's some dog lovers out here. There's some dog lovers that are saying right now, he just doesn't know what he's doing. I could tame that dog. I could tame that dog so quick. And guess what? You're welcome to come and take Darby away. Darby will be your forever dog, and you can tame Darby. My daughter's shaking her head no. Okay, we'll keep Darby. Darby's going to continue to help me learn to pray and be patient and patience. Jesus, help me. But verse 8 says that, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It's absolutely true. No one can tame the tongue, but God can. And here's the folks, I want to tell you today, we have hope today. We have hope because God can help us tame this little monster. He can help us tame it. And the thing is that only God can give us the power to control our tongue, but he wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. You see, control of the tongue comes from the control of the heart. And the control of the tongue comes from a changed heart. And I have a beautiful story here. In Acts chapter 2, God does something amazing. There's about 120 people that are waiting in an upper room, and they're waiting for a promise, the Spirit of God, to be poured out on them. And they were in this room, and they were praying and believing God and just waiting on God. They were giving their hearts, and they were just open for whatever. And then the Bible says that as a rushing mighty wind, God filled the whole house. That is, his Spirit came in and it filled each and every one of them. And that it said that there were cloven tongues like fire that were, it was like they were on fire. And it says that the Spirit gave them utterance. Through God's Spirit, he took the most unruly member of their body, the tongue, and he controlled it. He came in and he controlled their tongue. And the Bible says that they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave utterance. They began to speak, you know, they were all from Galilee, and there were people on the street saying, these men, aren't they from Galilee? But yet I hear them speak in my own native tongue the wondrous works of God. And so it's so beautiful to me that when God came in and filled them with his Spirit, he took control of the one uncontrollable member of their body. And he said, I am more powerful than the tongue. I am more powerful than the tongue. You see, in Acts 1 and 8, it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the truth is when we give our heart to God, this tongue will start to follow. It will start to follow. It doesn't happen right away. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I had to learn a whole new vocabulary. I used a lot of words that aren't really pleasant just to describe my stuff. So God had to work in me and with patience and grace. And people would say, Will, do you know what you just said? I don't know what I just said. Oh, I'm sorry. And so there was God began to work on me from the inside out. Because something started to change in my life. You know, I talked about earlier that the abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, God began to change what was in my heart. There was bitterness. There was anger. There was strife. There was just grumpiness. It was just in me. And God began to change my heart. He took hatred out of me. He took bitterness and envy and strife out of my life. It was like this bucket, and God was pouring out the bucket and putting new stuff in, clean stuff in. And he was changing me, and God began to move on my heart. And so this bitterness and this envy and this strife, those things that had my tongue on a hair trigger. Have you ever argued with somebody in your head before you had the argument? Have you just thought about it all day long? Well, I'm going to say this, and if they say that, I'm going to come back at them with this. And so you've got this entire argument planned in your head. It's all planned out. And so you're just ready. Ooh, just say something. Just say something. You just say it. You say it. And they may say something nice to you. How are you look so good? You go, it all comes out. But God changes that. God begins to do things in our hearts that are so different. All of a sudden, where somebody would say something to you that could just cause you to just go off, you would think about it for a second. And you would say, I'm not going to respond. That hurt me. It did. It stung. But I'm going to take this to God in prayer. I'm going to take this to God in prayer. And God's forgiven me. And he's been dealing with these issues in my heart. And so I know that person that said that to me is dealing with something too. That there's envy and strife in their life. And it's causing them to lash out at me. I forgive them. And instead of responding like that, we start praying for them. And acting differently towards them. You know, the Bible says that a soft word turns away wrath. A soft word, that's a kind word. You know, when somebody's really, really angry at you, the last thing you want to do is throw out a word that's going to cause them to go off. The Bible wants us to give soft words. And so when we go to God in prayer, when he's changing us and the grace of God is really changing what's going on in the storehouse, in the warehouse, when he begins to pour out those nasty things and fill us up with different things, he's going to give us wisdom and give us faith. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We're hearing the word of God. It's building our faith. And sometimes the word of God, it stings a little bit. It hurts a little bit. Y'all, for the past few weeks studying this message, it's been hurting me. Oh, God, let my words be kind. Let my words be pure words. Change me, God. So I said in the beginning that, you know, most of the of James chapter 3, about 80% of James chapter 3 is about the tongue. And this, there's this last blurb, this last paragraph, and it always kind of struck me as odd. I always thought that, man, he's talking about the tongue this whole time. And then this last paragraph, he goes off in some direction. I'm like, oh, I need to add this in here too. But I realized it has everything to do with the taming of our tongue. It has everything to do with our conversation. And if you look at this beautiful scripture, James 17 and 18, it says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial. It's sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so what this word, I always thought he just kind of threw that in. It's about our conversation. And God can change us from the inside out. And he can change our words that come out of us. And so when our conversations, this week I want you to pray this scripture. Read over this scripture. Is your conversation pure? Is it clean and not harmful in any way? Is it peaceable? Is it creating peace? The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Is it argumentative or is it hostile? Or is it words of peace? Is it peaceable? Is it gentle? Is it kind? Is it reasonable? Reasonable. How many times have you been in a conversation with somebody and you wish that they were reasonable? God wants our words to be reasonable. Is it merciful? Is it merciful? Is it full of good fruits? The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness. I mean, does that conversation, is it reflected? Is it impartial or sincere, which is free of hypocrisy, falseness? It's earnest. I want you to know today, with God's help, your words can change your harvest, your whole harvest. You know, we reap what we sow. And sometimes we are sowing things into our own lives. We are sowing things into other people's lives with our words. And we reap this harvest. But it says, and the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When God changes your heart, he'll change your words, and he'll change your relationship. He'll change everything around you. You will be, when your heart is changed, you're gonna say words to your husband or your wife that are gonna change the relationship. When God is moving in your life, the words that are gonna come out of your mouth are gonna bless somebody. And this all comes from God. And this wisdom from God, this beauty, this beautiful thing, this wisdom comes from God. And I want to say this, that real faith changes our words. Real faith changes our words. And real faith is shown. Remember we talked about faith without works is dead? But real faith is shown by our good words. Good words. I want to leave you with this scripture in Ephesians 4 and 29. It says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for the building up, as fits for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. This scripture is saying not just four-letter words. Don't let corrupt communication, words that tear down, words that break, words that jab, words that hurt, those are corrupt. They're corrupt words. And if those are coming out of us, there's something in our heart that God wants. God wants us to deal with it. And I love how it says, but give grace to those who hear. I want my words to be full of grace. I want my heart to back up what I profess. Changed heart equals changed words. Let's stand. We're going to pray. God, we just come to you today with our whole heart. We come to you with our whole heart. God, we ask, God, that you come into our lives. You come into our hearts, God. God, if there be anything in us, God, anything in us, heal us today, God. Forgive us, God, of the words that we have spoken, harmful, hurtful words that come from places in our heart, deep in our heart. But God, we believe, God, that you and your mercy and your goodness and your kindness will save us and cleanse us and fill us with your Spirit. And you'll change us from the inside out and change us so much that our words reflect it. God, we are so thankful, God, for your mercy and your grace. Thankful, God, for what you're doing on the inside of us. And it's changing us on the outside. God, help us, Lord, to watch everything that we say, to guard our hearts, to guard our mouth. God, to speak life. To speak words that build up, to speak words that are full of grace, that are pure, that are full of mercy. We thank you for this today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you believe that and you want that for yourself, will you just say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is so good. And at the end of every service, we want you to know that we'll have leaders up here, and we want to pray with you. We're going to dismiss, but if you want to come down and pray, we are here to pray with you. We also offer baptism after every service as well. And I want you to go out with a thought in your head today. This whole week, every conversation that you have, when something comes out of your mouth that shouldn't, I want you to say, or think, what you talking about, Willis? What you talking about, Willis? And then just remember that, all right? But you are welcome to go. Thank you for coming today. Praise God. We'll see you again here next week. God bless you in Jesus' name.